You look at a map, you expect it to be accurate, an objective view of the place you live in. One Toronto artist says that maps can be just as easily used to distort the truth and wipe out different perspectives. Louis Jacob has been collecting maps of Canada, now on display as part of the Toronto Biennial of Arts. They are maps that show a very different perspective of who this land belongs to, and Louis is with me in studio. Good morning.
Good morning, Matt. How are you?
I'm great. And this, I love maps, so I'm fascinated by this.
Excellent.
When did you start to realize that maps can tell different stories?
Well, I've been, as an artist, I've been researching the idea of narratives of place. So this idea of how do we narrate the place that we're in, and how do those narratives allow us to understand, but also to misunderstand the place that we're in. Mm. So I live here in Toronto, so I became interested in maps that depict this area at different moments in time. I started looking at this maybe a couple of years ago, and it opened up a rabbit hole for me. It was fascinating.
You have a map from, the oldest map is from what, 1677?
1677.
Oh my goodness. Tell me the story that the map tells.
Well, it's incredible because it's a map made in Venice depicting North America. Three of the Great Lakes are marked in the map, but two are only the mouths of the lakes are present, and then the mouths trail off into blank paper.
So they didn't
get
that far.
So most of the map does not include the U.S. and Canada. Only the eastern shoreline and the south side of the continent are marked. The rest is blank paper because the explorers, the European explorers, don't know what is there.
So what else?
It's an interesting way to think about this environment, right?
Part of this is about the stories that the maps tell and whose land it is, mm-hmm. and whose land they're on. What do we learn in looking at the maps about the history of Indigenous people in this mm-hmm. country and their presence in these maps?
Absolutely. So this map, even though it has so many blank spots, it clearly marks this area as Petén Nation and Huron Nation, right? So the map makers clearly knew they were in other people's countries, and they're marked. And this appears in maps, all the maps, really up to, I would say, 1840, clearly depict most of the land as Indigenous map.
What happens in 1840?
The relationships change between non-Indigenous people and Indigenous people. Up until that time, the relationship was really often based on trade relationships and diplomacy, and much more a recognition of people of sovereignty and nation-to-nation relationships. That started to change in the mid-19th century, where you really have the Indian Act and really an attempt to wipe out Indigenous sovereignty, Indigenous presence. And that's reflected in the maps. You'd be hard-pressed to find a map today that clearly indicates the indigeneity of this place.
Have these maps changed how you see this country? You immigrated from Peru.
They really have. Yeah. To me, they contain some errors, maybe geographical errors, but they also contain historical information that that helps me understand the many layers that are present here on this place we call Toronto. For the biennial, one of the co-curators, Candace Hopkins, she made a really interesting observation. She said at a certain point in the in history, Toronto decided to bury its waterways, its creeks, its rivers. And she said at that moment, that's when Toronto decided to start erasing its own history. And she said a lot of the artworks in the biennial are trying to unbury what's been buried. And I think this effort to look at how we, over time, how we've described this place called Toronto has allowed me to see layers that I didn't think existed, and has allowed me to understand the place that I'm standing on in a much more multidimensional way.
That changes your perspective. For people who mm-hmm. come and see this, how should they think in terms of thinking differently about the place that they're
in? Well, what's amazing is that, so we've placed the installation of my photographs and the maps at Union Station. And as you know, Union Station is a huge hub for transportation, right? People come from far and wide to Toronto through Union Station. People are not there necessarily to see an art exhibition, but there is a free art exhibition there as part of the show. And people are fascinated by maps. This was a bit of a surprise for me. People stop on their way to their catch their train or whatever and look very closely at these documents. So people are curious. People are interested. And I feel that also people are navigating their travel. So a collection of maps at Union Station makes a lot of sense. We are used to carrying maps like on our phones and everything else. So these are navigation devices that we use every day. But if we can allow them to think not only as the tools for wayfinding that they are, but also to uncover different ways in which social histories, political histories, and our relationship to each other is described in these maps, I think we gain a higher consciousness of what it means to be here.
And what it means to be here right now. That's fascinating. Exactly. I can't wait to go and check this out. Louis, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Louis Jacob's exhibit is called The View From Here. It's part of the Toronto Biennial of Art. And the talks, performances, and exhibits by artists like Louis are happening at venues all across the city. They're all free. His collection of maps and photographs, as he mentioned, is at Union Station and also at the main site at 259 Lakeshore Boulevard East. It's 8:30 on Radio 1.
This is CBC News. From CBC Toronto, it is 8:30. Good morning. I'm Jill Dempsey. It's minus 2 with a wind chill of minus 9. Here's Khalil.
West on the 401, approaching Dixie and the Collectors, we have a right lane taken out with a collision, delays back onto the 427 ramps.